Well, nothing like, I'm not going to put up with that. That's going to spoil my whole day.
From deep inside your radio.
That's the way you do it. See? See, you just back it up and start it all over again. Ladies and gentlemen, that's only because I'm home. Because I learned 85 crappy boards, and now I'm back at the home of the Le Show, the Le Show Dome. And so, of course, that would happen. And it's me. It's on me, ladies and gentlemen. Let's start. First of all, I want to start by thanking all the people, many of whom appear to be fans of this broadcast, strangely enough, who showed up the last couple nights at Cal State Long Beach to see me and sit quietly and listen to me and buy my book. And you don't have to go to Cal State Long Beach to buy the book. Not Enough Indians. It's, oh boy, is it out now. But thank you, folks. And I will try to put at the, because I've been asked, I will try to put where I'm going to be in the near future up on the website. But I don't guarantee it, because the website is, as we've been saying for the last 17 years, under construction. Ladies and gentlemen, some things just to quizzically note this week. First of all, you know that Katie Couric, the new anchor of the CBS Evening News, made a big deal on her initial broadcast of saying that she didn't know how to sign the program off. You know, she didn't know how to end the broadcast. And she put out a request for suggested sign-offs, just as a blatant attempt to get mail or to pretend that she cared what the audience thought. She is not yet, the last time I looked, locked into a dynamite sign-off on the broadcast. But here's how she signs off her blog. Now, Katie's got a blog. Okay, that's fine. Brian Williams has a blog. You know, it's the 21st century. Hey, I got a blog. But here's how Katie signs off her blog. This is the blog where she's blogging. Have I said the word blog enough? Because I'm just trying to be with the kids. Here's the one that how she signs off the posts that she did about her appearance on the David Letterman show. Quoting Katie Couric. Till later, true that, peeps. Katie Couric's blog sign-off, ladies and gentlemen. True that, peeps. Here's a story that may be missing the point. USA Today. Why would they miss the point? Dateline Washington. At a State Department ceremony this week, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice warmly acknowledged the family members of Mark Dibble, whom she was swearing in as the nation's new global AIDS coordinator. As First Lady Laura Bush looked on, Rice singled out Dibble's partner, Jason Clare, and Clare's mother. Rice referred to her as Dibble's, quote, mother-in-law, unquote. Then the story continues, the celebratory moment for a gay couple was emblematic of the political identity crisis facing the Republican Party. Yes, or. And the quote of the week, ladies and gentlemen, from the Palm Beach Post, Dateline Tallahassee, emails, this is the latest on the Mark Foley deal, the disgraced former congressman. Unlike Bob Ney, who pleaded guilty to bribery but is still in Congress, the disgraced congressman. This is the disgraced former congressman, Mark Foley. Emails from Foley to Governor Jeb Bush reveal that Foley 2 years ago feared that the White House was shunning him. I guess they were using their shunners. And he called on Governor Bush, president's brother, to intercede. Foley wrote to Governor Bush on September 29, 2004. Have I done something to offend the White House? I am always getting the shaft. Unquote Mark Foley. The quote of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, welcome to the show. He wishes. From the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. And thanks also to the fine people at Cal State Long Beach who made it such fun to be down there. Ladies and gentlemen, now it's time for the apologies of the week. Won't you?
We're so sorry.
Yeah, some good ones. Well, you'll be the judge, won't you? No, I'll be the judge, you be the jury. That'll be fun. After Indiana Pacers practice this week, Steven Jackson apologized for the incident that took place at Club Rio previous Friday morning. Quote, "First of all, I want to say I'm sorry for this incident. I apologize to my teammates, to the fans of this organization. It was definitely an unfortunate incident. I know for me, I worked hard this summer to get myself physically and mentally ready for the season. Obviously, no. I didn't really think I'd be waking up the next morning after I got hit by a car being able to walk, but I'm definitely blessed to be here, and I understand I definitely take responsibility for my actions and everything that I've done. You know, for that, I am sorry, and I apologize for it." I guess he had an accident. I guess he was involved with some... No, there was some... Was there a firearm found in his car? I think that was it. Story doesn't indicate that, but it just indicates that he's sorry. And really, that's all that counts when you're talking about the apologies of the week. The Reverend Raymond Brown of New Orleans says he has apologized to Governor Kathleen Blanco of Louisiana for his choice of words in describing her at a news conference last week. Brown represents the new Black Panther Party. It's new. It's improved. It's not improved. It's new. He visited New Orleans. No, sorry. He visited New Iberia to speak about the sheriff's department's use of tear gas in breaking up a crowd in that area last month. At that event, Brown vilified the sheriff, the mayor, area clergy, and he said Blanco has ignored his call to intervene in the problems, referring to her as a, quote, "no good bitch," unquote. Brown said Monday he regretted speaking of her that way. He gave her a letter of apology. Quote, "I just explained to the governor that I was under a lot of pressure at that time." Yeah, pressure is a bitch. No, pressure can make you say bitch. British MP Andrew Turner of the Conservative Party apologized this week for equating Israel's attacks on Lebanese infrastructure and citizens to tactics employed by the Nazis. A firefighter at the center of a tumble dryer prank, remember that? Has apologized for his totally irresponsible behavior and been told that he has kept his job. Simon Leyland of, listen to this name for a British community, Oswald Twissel. I want to say that a lot. Oswald Twissel. Simon Leyland filmed a colleague being spun inside an industrial tumble dryer at his fire station in Manchester. The clip ended up on the internet. Leyland and three colleagues have all been given a final written warning for their part in the stunt. They have been fined 13 days of pay, about $1,000. No, less than that. Yeah, about $1,000. Maybe now $1,200 with the new exchange rate. An investigation was held by the county fire officer. Following the hearing, the firemen issued a joint statement. "We all very much deeply regret our actions and the damage and embarrassment they have caused our fire service and would like to publicly apologize. We recognize that our behavior was totally irresponsible, and we are genuinely ashamed and would stress that no one should try to copy the stupid act." Filmed in Oswald Twissel. Dateline Chandigarh, India. Cricketer Harbhajan Singh found himself embroiled in a controversy after the apex religious body of Sikhs slammed the cricketer for leaving his hair uncovered in an ad. Singh was quick to apologize for the gaffe, but activists burnt his effigy in Amritsar after a protest march. Quote, "If my action has hurt the Sikh community, then I feel sorry for it. I will take note of it in the future," Singh said. The activist, actually, the religious president, Avtar Singh Makar, who sought an apology, said Mr. Singh should have realized the importance of hair in the Sikh religion. What kind of ad was it? Doesn't say. Yes, it does. Secretary Harbhajan Singh said the cricketer had committed a great blunder. It would be wrong to say he'd done so out of ignorance. Harbhajan's action, he said, has hurt the sentiments of Sikhs across the world as he has participated in the advertisement for wine with open hair, unquote. Open hair, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, you know, The Apologies of the Week, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. There are a few things we should just check into for amusement's sake before we get into the heavy stuff. First of all, when you have the Democrats and Republicans in unanimity on a foreign threat, look out. Well, we know. It happened once before. And the reason that the Democrats, the one reason, let's be careful. Let's be careful with our words. And by we, I mean me. One reason that the Democrats and Republicans could be in unanimity about the seriousness of the North Korean threat is that if it's a serious threat, it allows each side to blame the other. If it's not a serious threat, who cares? So each side could be agreeing that it's a serious threat just for the sake of the game. Now, yes, there's been a resolution passed by the United Nations Security Council. They've never made a mistake about this stuff. And I'm just saying, you know, before we rush off again and buy into this stuff, let's look at the possibilities. I know me. Am I a nuclear inspector? Do I know anything about this? We know that the United States has now said there is some sign of radiation having been emitted from the area where the North Koreans claim to have conducted a nuclear test. There was earlier in the week doubt that it was even a nuclear test. There were some saying maybe they just blew up a lot of TNT to create the seismic signature of a big explosion and then bragged that it was a nuke. Okay, the United States now says, there's radiation. All right. How big was the explosion? How big was the bomb they tested? It was beneath all the evidence that I've been able to see indicates it was less than a kiloton. That's very small, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, according to the Asia Times, the United States has conducted numerous sub-one kiloton tests as part of a project to miniaturize atom bombs to put on artillery shells, but no nuclear weapon state. No nuclear weapon state from America to Pakistan. America's first was 20 kilotons. Pakistan's first was 40 kilotons. No nuclear weapon state has ever made its debut with such a low yield, as it's called, less than a kiloton. Initial detonations have all been the range between 10 and 60. I think, Hiroshima was like 30? Check me on that, won't you, Hiroshima? North Korea's explosion was lower than the lowest by a factor of nearly 20. And here's just a quote to keep in mind as we go through this from a website called defensetech.org. No one has ever dudded their first test of a simple fission device before. North Korea's nuclear scientists are the worst ever, unquote, defensetech.org.
Okay.
You can get scared again now. It's okay. It's safe. Buried lead department is open for business. The story about the light plane that tragically crashed into a New York apartment building this week, killing the New York Yankee. Here is the Associated Press lead. The military, Dateline Denver, the military sent dozens of fighter jets Wednesday to patrol the skies over New York, Washington, and other U.S. and Canadian cities minutes after the small plane crashed into a New York City high-rise. That's this particular angle of the story. But let's go down to where Timothy Keating, commander of U.S. Northern Command, NORCOM, thank you, I just figured that out, said he ordered the fighters to be scrambled immediately after seeing information about the crash on television. No? Only a year and change after Katrina, somebody with emergency responsibilities is finally watching television. I think that's news. Now, let's turn to Iraq for a moment, shall we? Won't we? Will you? I've been on the mailing list for these since this project started, but I've never brought one in to read for you before. But I just think they're so great. There's an organization called New Fields that sponsors, this is now the sixth, Rebuilding Iraq Conference. It's a company that makes money by holding these conferences where businesses that would like to get into the business of getting contracts in Iraq can come and meet the people who might be of help to them. This will be in Washington, D.C. Well, why would you hold a conference on rebuilding Iraq in Iraq? You see what I'm saying? 6th and 7th of December, if you want to make your reservations now, this major summit will, quote, give an update on Iraq. Speakers will assess and discuss socioeconomic, legal, financial, technological, and commercial angles, as well as competitive strategic trends for the future. Security? No, not yet. Investigate the Iraqi investment opportunities. Speakers will detail the prospects for contracts in Iraq, help develop long-term strategies for the sustainable development and expansion of Iraqi projects, to discover a world of new, and this is all caps, opportunities. Gain first-hand experience of the newest, most lucrative, and fastest-growing market. And now here we get to the part I like best, where sometimes people just make mistakes that tell you what they're really thinking. Increase your knowledge of Iraq and discover how best to untap the enormous business potential of Iraq. You'll learn to untap it. Ladies and gentlemen, the 6th and 7th, make your reservations now, or you'll be left out. On the subject of Iraq, the president, probably as much of an expert as I am in statistical methodology, said this week that the methodology of the latest estimated count of civilian casualties as a result of the war was discredited methodology. How discredited is it? According to a Columbia Journalism Review, cluster sampling is what it's called, in which researchers interview families from a few representative segments of society and then extrapolate out to arrive at an estimate, is how most surveys are conducted. It's how exit polls are run. So, now I've been saying don't participate in exit polls, ladies and gentlemen. Don't blame me. But if President Bush thinks this technology has been discredited, then of course he won't be reading the polls like he never does. It's also used to measure voter preferences or what people's favorite TV shows are. So the ratings must be crap, too. Well, you know, I'm starting to lean toward the president. I loved when President Bush said their methodology has been pretty well discredited, says Richard Garfield, a public health professor at Columbia, who works closely with the authors of the report. This is in the Christian Science Monitor. Quote, that's exactly wrong. There is no discrediting of this methodology. I don't think there's anyone who's been involved in mortality research who thinks there's a better way to do it in unsecured areas. I have never heard of any argument in this field that says there's a better way to do it. Unquote. Hey, he didn't get a C in statistics. To Britain, where you know that Sir Richard Dannett, chief of the general staff of the military, says that our presence exacerbates the security problems. Quote, I think history will show that the planning for what happened after the initial successful war fighting phase was poor, probably based more on optimism than sound planning. The original intention was that we put in place a liberal democracy that was an exemplar for the region. That was the hope. Whether that was a sensible or naive hope, history will judge. I don't think we're going to do that. I think we should aim for a lower ambition. He adds in his interview with the Daily Mail, we should get ourselves out sometime soon because our presence exacerbates the security problems. As a foreigner, you can be welcomed by being invited into a Muslim country, but we weren't invited, certainly by those in Iraq at the time. Let's face it, the military campaign we fought in 2003 effectively kicked the door in. That is a fact. Unquote. General Dannett, who thinks the war in Afghanistan is more worth fighting. Of course, he backtracked a little bit on Friday after some thumbs were put on his personal scale by the government. This from The Guardian about Iraq. 18 months ago, the British Army still patrolled in berets and without flak jackets. Today, they will only emerge in heavily armored vehicles wearing heavy-duty helmets with protective screens across their faces. Hey, just like the Muslim women. And body armor to cover their shoulders and upper arms. The army once was able to patrol around the city relatively freely. They now know there are certain parts of it where they'll be vulnerable to attack. Part of the difficulty is identifying the enemy. Where have we heard that before? According to senior coalition advisors, that's a good job to still have, there are about 20 different security and police groups in Basra, ranging from the Directorate of Education Police to the Justice Police. The governor alone has 200 armed gunmen protecting him. Some of the police units are active in organized crime and have been infiltrated by militias. Others work as death squads. There are also around a dozen religious militias. Quote, "We are in a tribal society in Basra," says Lieutenant Colonel Simon Brown, "and we, the British Army, are in effect one of these tribes. As long as we are here, the others will attack us because we are the most influential we are the most influential tribe. We cramp their style." Unquote. And the number of Iraqis claiming asylum in the West is growing, says the United Nations Refugee Agency. The number of internally displaced is also growing. Some 365,000 Iraqis uprooted just this year. So that's the way we'll clean it up. We'll empty the place. Well, it's one of those weeks here on the show where I think it's just, it's been a long time since we've done this anyway, just to maybe open the phone line, see what people are thinking out there, see what's on your minds. So let's just see what happens. What do you think? Line one? Sure. Line one. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Harry. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Anthony Tony Bellalagua. Tony Bellalagua.
Tony Bellalagua.
Bellalagua.
Sorry, Bellalagua.
Bellalagua.
Tony Bellalagua.
Bellalagua, right.
Okay, Tony, welcome, and what's on your mind?
Well, Harry, I know you've got your eye on the political football and stuff.
I'm not a big football fan, if that's what you mean.
Well, that really isn't what I meant. I'm a little nervous. I've been on the radio before.
You're not on the radio. You're on the phone.
Okay. How am I doing?
You're doing great.
Great.
Just be a little more nervous, though.
Harry, my wife and I are involved, and I just wanted to call you and see if we couldn't get a little groundswell going, perhaps. My wife and I, my wife Antoinette and I are...
Wait a minute. Your name is Anthony.
Yeah.
And your wife
Tony.
Is... And you're...
Bellalagua.
And your
Lagua.
And your wife's name is Antoinette?
Antoinette, yeah, Tony. We're both Tonys.
Oh, isn't that wild?
She's little Tony, I'm big Tony.
That's cute.
Are we on the air now?
Yeah, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay.
I just got distracted by the names.
Okay. Anywho, my situation is this, Harry. My wife and I are at the age of, we're retirement age.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Pardon me?
I said I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I'm very happy.
Oh, good.
I worked hard, and I think I deserve it.
Okay, good.
Anywho, anyhow.
Yeah.
I'm so used to saying anywho. We used to say it at the office.
Oh.
Before I retired. In any event, we're involved in a lawsuit now, Harry, where my wife and I are suing a retirement village right here in Muncie.
Wait, you're in Muncie, Indiana?
Yes, we are.
Oh.
We get your show up here on public radio.
Good for you.
Which we love.
Good. Thank you.
And everybody on public radio has those voices, like those cute voices.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I digress. We're involved in a lawsuit. ACLU is helping us out.
Uh-huh.
But we're suing a retirement village here.
Well, why are you suing them, Tony?
It's a gay retirement village, Harry.
Yeah.
And it's one of those new ones. It's a beautiful, beautiful facility. And my wife and I are suing to be allowed in. We're the only, as far as I know, and as far as Andy Shadelman, our ACLU lawyer, knows, we're the first straight couple to sue a gay retirement community, or they call it an environment, to try to get in. And you know, we don't want to go somewhere where we're not wanted, but we just feel that it's just not right, and we're trying to get a little attention paid, and that's why I called you.
I see. Well, it's lucky I picked up the phone then. Tony, have you visited the environment or the community?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. We're just crazy about it. It's Lake Pride Village. It's not completely done yet. They're just working on phase. Well, we've got phase one and two, but it's Lake Pride Village, and there's no real lake. And they have a cute sign that says Lake Pride Village. There's no lake yet, but there's plenty of pride.
That is
cute. You know,
yeah.
The cute thing.
Yeah.
Give me an idea of how much fun it is out there.
Yeah.
And we're just trying to get in, long story short.
All right. Well, wait a minute.
They don't want us.
Yeah.
And that's interesting, I think.
Well, they don't want you to.
Reverse homophobia, although that probably wouldn't be right.
Yeah. You are not gay.
No, sir.
Okay. And your wife, little Tony, is not gay either.
Little Tony is as straight as they come, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
I'm going to be totally honest, and for the sake of complete honesty here, many years ago in the Navy, there was one incident.
Well, we don't need to know about that.
Okay.
Was it a fellow sailor?
Well, it was a young fella. There was one can of Dole pineapple.
All right, we don't
syrup
need to.
And,
no, we don't need to go into that.
He said, could I have some of that to get your own pineapple?
Yeah.
No, long story short. I wind up standing in a shopping bag in the ammunition dump going, who did I think I was? Whatever. But that's many years ago. And,
right.
And that really, I just want to, in full disclosure situation.
No, I understand. Because that's going to come out in the lawsuit, obviously, if it goes any further.
Right. And I don't know. I'm sure you've had a couple of homosexual experiences. I mean, you're gay. I know you're straight arrow. And I mean, I'm not you. I just mean you, the editorial you.
Yeah. No, I actually haven't. But
I don't mean you. I mean you even less.
Okay, Tony, what is it about the Lake Pride Village that so attracts you in Little Tony?
Well, the other straight, to use their quotes, mm-hmm. phrase, retirement villages we looked at were just like black and white compared to this. This place is just...
Technicolor?
Yeah, it's just a lot of fun. There's transvestite bingo out there. They have a gay stroke rodeo.
Excuse me?
Everybody feels included in, you know what I mean?
No, I don't.
Well, phase two, which is sort of the male section. Phase one's the lesbian gals.
Uh-huh.
Phase two is the gay man section.
Yeah.
You can tell them apart pretty easily because phase one is pretty much all the driveways are paved over. The yards are paved over. That's whereas the gay man section is just flowers, and it just looks like, Holland.
Uh-huh. So,
I'm saying that within so darn attractive, apart from it being 2 miles from our grandkids.
Oh.
You know, which
yeah.
is...
No, that's a plus.
Big plus for us.
Yeah. So I want to get back to this rodeo you were talking about.
Well, they just include everybody. They make their own bread there.
Mm.
It's just a lot of fun. They have wonderful lecturers there. You know, Harry, they had Rita Moreno.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she talked about show business. She won the Academy Award for West Side Story.
I know.
And she brought in George Takiris.
Really?
A couple of weeks later to lecture to the folks out there, who in turn brought in George Maharis.
Wow. So you could finally tell the difference.
I didn't hear any of these because we're not, I suppose we were there as a visitor, but just the way they put up a fight and a squawk when we tried to get in there, it's the most wonderful looking place.
Yeah.
You know, all the houses are named after heroes of gay history.
Mm.
George Patton.
Wait. George Patton is gay?
I didn't think so either.
Yeah.
You know, there are some gay people who think everybody's gay or you know how that
well,
is?
Well, sure. There's some people, some Jewish people who think everybody's Jewish.
Exactly.
Yeah. I thought George Patton was Jewish.
I had no idea.
No.
He was a great leader, though.
Yeah, he was.
And George C. Scott was, man.
Oh, what a performance. Jewish. Yeah.
We were looking at a house, we were looking at a model, the Raymond Burr, just full of light,
mm-hmm.
and everything's included, your maintenance, everything's covered, the lawn service, and just, you know.
Now, does it have does that have the thing that goes up the stairs for you, or do you have to walk the stairs?
You say the thing, what do you mean?
Hmm?
You mean one of those little vacuums that, like, go like a robot?
No, like that little elevator that goes up the stairs for you?
No, I had a hip and knee replacement. I'm good to go.
Yeah. No, I just meant because it was called the Raymond Burr. I was wondering if it was...
Oh, like Ironside.
Yeah.
Boy, he was good.
Yeah.
More for charity than you know. That's why they named this particular street after Raymond Burr because...
Oh, it's the whole street.
So much more for Hawaiian youth. You know, he lived in Hawaii and did a lot for Hawaiian youth.
Mm.
By the way, there's a wonderful group of young people that take care of the lake, although the lake isn't completed yet.
Mm. So when you say it's not completed, what's there?
It's just a hole, really.
I see.
It's going to be great, though. I've seen the watercolors.
Uh-huh. Tony, what exactly did they say? We're speaking with Tony Bevilacqua.
Bevilacqua. Bevilacqua.
Who is suing? What did they say to you when you just attempt to buy the house on Raymond Burr? Or?
Well, we put a bid in, we got accepted.
Yeah,
and I had my name.
Price was right.
My name alone on there because I'm sort of I've got a thing. I'm old fashioned where my wife's name really isn't on much.
Uh-huh.
We own, been married 35 years. And so when they find out, they did their due diligence
mm-hmm.
That we're a heterosexual couple.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm from the school where, you know, prejudice is prejudice, and we put up a little bit of a squawk. That's all.
Yeah. And they said, just no way?
No way.
Yeah. Did they recommend a straight retirement community that was comparable, or did they just say, get lost?
No. I mean, it was just the window came slamming down.
Mm.
And my wife is devastated. You know, some of these places, they don't allow kids, and I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But what was the question?
Did you offer any kind of compromise? Did you, for example, say we won't engage in heterosexual sex in the house or something like that as a way of...
No, I don't think that's anybody's business. I only wish, at this point, after 35 years...
Yeah, I see where you're going with that.
So what does your attorney say about your chances?
He thinks they're great.
Yeah.
We've been, well, this is the, oh, what is it now, about the 18th month that we're trying to get them, just dragging them into court.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, the houses are being sold out from under us. We got our deposit back, but we don't want our deposit back.
Yeah.
We want to just be part of that community.
Yeah.
You know what it is, too, Harry? I mean, it's so many of the straight, quotes, retirement communities, the people, you know, they don't look good.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas over here at Lake Pride, you know, they're trim, which makes you look healthy even if you're not, you
mm-hmm.
know?
So
I don't know why in this day and age where you can't just kind of grow old where you kind of want to.
Yeah.
Know?
And so you feel that...
aren't horrified by the aspect of aging. They are. It just seems that they just take better care of themselves and all.
And that makes you feel younger.
Makes me feel younger.
Mm-hmm.
You're around the gays, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I don't ache.
Hmm.
Well, when we take a week, because we walk by there, and I know we're torturing ourselves.
Cause yeah,
they don't want us there.
Yeah,
you know, and I know how the blacks feel. Really.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not comparing all those years of slavery to not being able to get into a gay retirement facility, but it's enough to make me go, whoa! I wish I'd been nicer in the 50s. You know.
Hmm. Tony, did you see any of the shows that they put on there? Do they put on shows? I mean, do they put on like...
No, they did. They were doing Fiorello.
Wow.
When I was there, and we went in, we took that show in, and mm-hmm. they just take the tables out of the cafeteria and throw some gels up in the lights, and it's, you know, it's not a show you think that you're that familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a hit. Well, it ran for a year.
Yeah.
Tom Bosley was in it. See, that's another thing.
Yeah.
These are things that, you know, it's just so much more interesting than what you would see at a, you'd play, see a show at a heterosexual retirement village that you know real well, a Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that puts the alternative in the alternative lifestyle. You can get more of a peek into, I want to say failed show business,
mm-hmm.
but any show that ran a year.
Yeah.
Not
well,
a failure.
You know, a year, that's not nothing.
No, it's not nothing. And shows were cheaper to put on then. This is other stuff I found out just talking to some of the folks about the show.
I mean,
I wish I'd seen it all, you know, but I don't like to drive at night.
Yeah. I mean, if you had been in that show every night for a year, you'd think that was a long run.
I would, but if I were an actor to begin with and was in that show for a long time, I'd probably be happy that I had work.
Yeah.
That's a lot of ifs.
That is a lot of ifs.
If I were an actor in a show that...
Yeah. Had run a year. What line of business did you retire from, Tony?
Insurance.
Insurance?
Mm-hmm.
And what, life?
Insurance.
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 Tony Bellalacqua on the line with us.
Bellalacqua.
Bellalacqua. Lagua. Sorry.
Lagua.
Lagua. What kind of insurance did you sell, Tony?
Oh, whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Storm, fire, tornado. A lot of tornadoes out here.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
More now.
More tornadoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see that Albert Dole movie, the Vice President's movie.
Albert Gore.
Gore.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Dole Pineapple.
You're going back there.
I am.
Yeah.
Flashback.
Yeah, flashback. So, have you had depositions yet? What stage is the lawsuit in?
Oh, we've been deposed several times.
Uh-huh. Have you been posed at all? Oh, I'm sorry. Huh? No, it's just a... So you've been deposed, and the people from the Lake Pride community have been deposed as well?
Yes, and, you know, they got deep pockets, mm-hmm. Harry, and they can just drag this on. Meanwhile, it's eaten away at our nest egg.
Yeah.
And I know we should give it up, but I'm an honorary cuss, and I'm a cantankerous cuss.
Wow.
And I'm a stubborn cuss.
Uh-huh.
And, can't think of any other cusses that I would, but you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I do.
That I just think right is right, and we should be allowed in there. And but, I don't think people should be allowed to discriminate. What do you say?
Well,
I'm a great American.
I am a great American, but I'm I'm the host, and I really don't. I'm interested.
Want to take sides?
I'm interested in your opinion. Yeah, I really don't want
to. Can I ask you one quick question? Isn't that a guest host? Could they take sides?
A guest host could take guest sides. Wouldn't be real size. I will say this. That's a good look, deep pockets.
You ever have those hot pockets?
No, I haven't. But just deep pockets seems to me like that's like those cargo pants, right?
I don't really follow you.
No, you said the people on the other side had deep pockets.
I just meant that they can afford to keep.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Till
I'm sorry.
He jumps, you know?
Yeah, okay. Till Judy jumps, did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Till, say, when's your uncle Charlie Durant, they can keep us out in the court forever. Meanwhile, our golden years are in the toilet, really.
Well, your golden years are tarnishing and turning to copper.
They are. They're tarnishing into a brown thing of despair. And even if we don't ever get in there, Harry, I just think this is a protest worth making. I really do.
Okay. Well, you've made it, and I hope your golden years don't oxidize anymore. I hope.
I sure appreciate that, especially coming from you. You've given me so much listening to your show. I don't hear it every week.
Well, you probably probably should.
I probably should.
Yeah.
I'm going to start.
Maybe in your retirement you'll have the chance. You'll have more free time, an hour.
I'm in it now.
Oh, okay.
I'm not enjoying it, really.
You're not?
Well, I just got to be in my bonnet about this.
All right. Well, Tony, can I give you a piece of advice? And I know you didn't call me for that, but don't let the bitterness eat you up.
I won't.
Don't let anything eat you up, actually. I mean, you want to really remain uneaten.
That's as well put as I expected from you, Harry.
Thanks. Well, you know,
Very clever and...
I'm no Dr. Phil. I'm no Dr. Phil, but I know that. I know that much.
Do you know Dr. Phil?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you called Dr. Phil about this?
I tried. I couldn't get in, and then that's when I tried you.
All right. Well, I appreciate being second on your list. Tony...
Well, you're very welcome, Harry.
Bellalacqua. Tony Bellalacqua and...
Lacqua.
Bellalacqua and his wife...
Lacqua
and his wife, Antoinette. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Harry, so much.
And I hope you get into some retirement place somewhere pretty soon.
Well...
Where are you living now, by the way?
I live in a semi-detached house downtown, which I should have bought. I had the opportunity to buy this 30 years ago.
Oh, my God. You're renting?
I am. Oh. And the landlords, they try everything to get us out. If it breaks, you could rot.
Yeah.
You couldn't come fix it. But I'm not moving just because they don't do what they're supposed to do. I'm not that. I don't put my pants on one leg at a time like that. I just refuse.
Hmm.
Refuse.
You don't put your pants on one leg at a time for nothing.
I don't.
Yeah.
And I'm an ornery cuss, and...
You're all those other kinds of cusses, too.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. All right, Tony, good luck to you. Thank you. Give my regards to Antoinette Bellalacqua.
Thank you, Harry, so much.
Pleasure. And
calling.
Check in with us again. Let us know how the lawsuit's progressing.
I will indeed.
Thanks.
I'll give you an update. Should I call you next week?
No.
Okay.
Not for the next few.
Not that soon.
Not until after the holidays.
Okay.
Okay.
Have a great holiday.
Thanks. Thanks, Tony.
Remember
you too.
You worship.
Thanks. You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Tum, tum, tum.
Só quero um salveiro, pé de manga de jasmim, muita fita do bom fim aqui no meu jardim. Eu só quero a luz marfim, afastando o que é ruim, respirar pirlim pim pim. Aqui no meu jardim, a chuva cai inundando o capim do mesmo céu. Vem você, querubim. Thank you. quero cheiro de alecrim, tua beleza de adorim, e te ouvir dizer que sim, aqui no meu jardim. A chuva cai, inundando o capim do mesmo céu. Vem você, querubim.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's great to be home, isn't it? News from outside the bubble. American Marines should face charges. What? Over the killing of Terry Lloyd, the war correspondent for the British company ITN, who was shot in the head as he lay injured in Iraq. This according to a British coroner this week. The death of the journalist was an unlawful killing, said the coroner at the end of an inquest in Oxford. Oh, well, should have had it in Cambridge. The coroner said he would report the findings to the director of public prosecutions to try to bring the U.S. soldiers to justice. Legal sources said any homicide charges against the Marines and their commanding officers would have to be brought in U.S. courts if the Americans decided to go ahead with a trial. Don't want to subject him to that questionable British justice, do we? And a leading human rights lawyer acting for the families of nine British soldiers killed by friendly fire called for the American soldiers who shot Terry Lloyd, that's the ITN reporter, to be extradited to Britain on war crimes charges. The family has called for those responsible for his death to be tried in Britain. Are you kidding me? We know those British judges. They wear wigs. Here's a good reason to buy American. The cost of the new fighter aircraft that Australia wants to buy cannot be calculated, and the whole project is marked by uncertainty and financial risk. This according to a Dutch auditor. The Netherlands, like Australia, is a partner in the U.S.-led JSF project, Joint Strike Fighter. The Netherlands aims to buy 85 of them. The Dutch report warns that the project exposes the Netherlands to unknown financial risk. Quote, the cost per aircraft still cannot be calculated. Development costs have been rising by more than 80% in the last 10 years, the report says. There is no insight into the further development costs because 65% of the test phase must still be completed. The report says nine nations that are partners in the project rely on the U.S. government to provide price-related information, but the Dutch experience with its U.S.-made F-16s, quote, has shown that this information is not provided. There is, therefore, it continues, no insight into costs and it cannot be determined whether the Netherlands will buy the aircraft at the best price. Unquote. It also points out that the U.S. Government Accountability Office has similar concerns and has concluded the entire program should be reassessed. Hey, listen, if you have to ask how much a joint jet strike fighter costs, you can't afford it. Speaking of aircraft, Britain is so short, this from the Independent, Britain is so short of helicopters in Afghanistan that military chiefs are being forced to scour the world for civilian aircraft to support its troops after the U.S. rejected a plea to help plug the gap. Just 8 Chinooks. I'm not calling anybody Chinook. Chinooks is working around the clock to supply and reinforce soldiers in remote outposts facing waves of Taliban attacks. The only Chinook in the Falklands was taken away for use in the campaign. Senior military officials said that when the UK commanders asked for temporary deployment of U.S. helicopters in Afghanistan, they were told there were none to spare. I didn't say despair. I said none to spare. The Ministry of Defense instead has been forced to seek out commercial operators for non-combat operations to free more military craft for use at the front line. Military commanders at the Pentagon have revealed, according to the same British newspaper, that they are laying plans to maintain troop numbers in Iraq at about 140,000 for at least another 4 years. Why isn't this on our news? Because it's just plans. Just plans. Everybody makes plans. I'm planning to go abroad. Not to become one. As sectarian violence continues to surge, the comments are by General Peter Schoonmaker, Army Chief of Staff, implying that the military brass see little prospect of reducing their commitment in Iraq anytime soon. He said the Pentagon was working to sustain 140,000 troops until late 2010. The decision was, he said, a result only of careful planning by the Pentagon and was not meant to indicate it had given up on conditions improving. This is not a prediction that things are going poorly or better, said the general. I have to have enough ammo in the magazine that I can continue to shoot as long as they want us to shoot. Only a few months ago, U.S. commanders in Iraq were tentatively suggesting reducing troop numbers by about 15,000 by the end of this year. Dateline Australia, former Defense Chief General Peter Cosgrove has apologized to the federal police boss, Mick Keelty, and now admits that the Iraq War has boosted global terrorism. Just days before the launch of his autobiography, My Story, good title, babe, General Cosgrove told the Australian Sunday Telegraph that his comments criticizing Keelty's view that the Iraq War had inspired terrorist attacks in Spain were made just days after the event. At the time, I just felt the call could not be made. Things have moved on. I've got no reason to argue the weighty assessments I'm seeing. If people say that there has been an energizing of the jihadist movement through the protracted war in Iraq, well, that's pretty obvious. Unquote, former Australian Defense Chief General Peter Cosgrove. Amazing how the truth serum bites you when you got a book coming out. A world authority on terrorism this week tore into security of Britain's biggest airport, arguing that the authorities had created new targets for extremists. Threats from mortars, missiles, and devices placed in cars near airports are a more realistic danger than onboard bombs, according to Professor Alan Hatcher. He says the lines up to 300 strong that coil around each other because of well-meaning security practices have themselves become targets. Controversial peace agreement with Taliban supporting militants in the rugged frontier regions of Pakistan emerged as the blueprint for a possible NATO accord with the Taliban in Afghanistan following this week's visit to Islamabad by General David Richards, NATO's commander of coalition forces in Afghanistan. It appears the U.S. and Britain authorized Perv Musharraf, to negotiate a peace deal with the Taliban. We like the Taliban now, right? Far from criticizing General Musharraf, it appears the Pakistani leader's deal with the Taliban could form the basis of an accord aimed at ending the insurgency and bringing the Taliban into the government in Kabul. And finally, British Foreign Secretary Margaret Beckett says the U.S. prison camp in Guantanamo Bay is ineffective, damaging, unacceptable in terms of human rights, ineffective in terms of counterterrorism, as much a radicalizing and discrediting influence as it is a safeguard to security, unquote, the foreign minister of Britain. Well, no wonder we don't want our troops facing British justice. News from outside the bubble, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. ¶¶ You know the Brits. With the teeth. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of Le Show. The program returns next week at the same time over these... They're bitter about the teeth. At the same time over these same stations on the USEN 440 cable system in Japan, around the... on the NPR Worldwide throughout Europe, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz. Around the world via the internet, two different locations, live and archived whenever you want it on your computer, harryshearer.com and kcrw.com. It's available as a free download at www.audible.com/leshow and available as a free podcast at kcrw.com. And it'd be just like keeping our soldiers at home to face American justice. If you'd agree to join with me then, would you already? Thank you very much, huh? The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at innerworld.net. Le Show Internet Services by Steve Mack. A tip of the Le Show chapeau to the Pittsburgh, San Diego, Underground, Chicago, Los Angeles desks, and to Tom Leopold, who played the role of Anthony Bellalagua. Lockwood. And thanks also to Pam Halstead. The show playlist available at harryshearer.com. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.